Well, good morning. Oh, come on, it's a better morning than that. Good morning. I got to make sure you're awake for at least the first part of the sermon. I expect a few of you will be asleep before I hit the midway point. But hopefully, I'll have you engaged enough because we're going to do a lot of participation during this service. For those of you who have been keeping up with what we've been doing over the last several months, we began in Genesis, the beginning, the first book in the Bible, and have gone all the way through, and now we're in a book that you're probably, I would say, most familiar with, at least with several different passages, and that is the book of Psalms. We are going to spend some time in class after worship, talking about psalms, talking about the different genres of psalms, the laments, the imprecatory psalms, and some of those different things like that. So hopefully that'll be interesting enough that you'll want to hang around. But this morning, I just want to go over a few of the psalms, and I want to see how well you can do. We're going to start off with probably the most well-known psalm, not only among churchgoers, but just about among anyone living on the earth. So what we're going to do is I'm going to start with a statement, the first part of a sentence or maybe a phrase, and I want you to finish it for me. Okay? The Lord is my shepherd.
I shall not want.
Okay. He makes me lie down. He leads me beside. Okay, all right. So you know what? This is going well so far. I do hear a little King James Version in there, and that's okay. That's how I learned it as well. So, okay, how about this one? Well, okay, let me try it. Okay. There we go. He restores.
Nice.
He guides me along paths of righteousness for His. Okay. Even though I walk, I will fear. Oh, I'm sorry. That was my fault. I will fear no evil. Oh, I heard a lot of thou's in there. For thou art with me. You notice how the tense changed, or it went from third person to first person. This is something interesting that we'll talk about in class too. Okay, your rod and your staff. You prepare a table before me. You anoint my head. My cup runneth over. Overfloweth. Okay, so we still got the it on it. My cup overfloweth, runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy. And I will dwell. Psalm 23 is one that we know well, one that was written by David. Interestingly, this is a psalm that many scholars believe was not written by David when he was a young shepherd boy in those green pastures. But instead, he was an older David, not yet king, running from his life, living in caves. And he talks about a God who is a shepherd, who gives him everything that he could ever need, that he doesn't want anything while living in a cave. It's pretty special. So I want to talk about a different green pasture this morning. Raise your hand if you recognize where this is. Does anybody recognize this? A few people may recognize this. I'll give you a hint. It's not in the United States. Let me give you a different view of this. Maybe this will help. Does anybody recognize this? Beautiful place. Beautiful. In fact, it has a little bit of history behind it, and I want to share that with you this morning. If you can see a map of the world, we are right, if I can hold it still, we're about right there. We're between the end and the east somewhere. What we're talking about, the place in which I showed you that bluff, on the map, it shows that it's east of us, but we figured out that the world is, in fact, round, and so really it's west of us. It's in the Pacific Ocean. You have right here. There are a group of islands called the Mariana Islands. Is anybody familiar with those? Okay, how about we go to this next slide, if I can. This actually is a place that is important within World War II. For those of you who know me, you know that I am very intrigued with World War II, specifically with Holocaust and what happened with the Jews and then with the Pacific. Those are the areas that really intrigue me. If I have opportunities to read about things or watch documentaries about things that don't have to do with the Bible, I find myself usually looking at World War II. This is Pearl Harbor, that on December 7th, 1941, was bombed. It's going to come into play. The Battle of Midway was a big battle. Of course, Wake Island, Kwajalein, Tarawa. For those of you who are a little older, you may remember a documentary that came out several years ago, several decades ago, that gave a real-life documentary of what took place. And it was pretty graphic, and it was something a lot of people back home didn't imagine was taking place in war. And it changed what they thought about the war. The Battle of Guadalcanal, the Philippines, Guam. And later on, we're going to get to Manila. You'll remember, does anybody remember what general was involved with the Philippines? Douglas MacArthur and his famous words were, yeah, before Arnold Schwarzenegger said it. Before he said, I'll be back. That's what General Douglas MacArthur said, the late people. Okinawa, Japan is right up here. Okay, Iwo Jima is going to take place later on. That's probably one of the most familiar on the Pacific front. But we're going to focus in on this little bitty island called... Stop me. Those two beautiful pictures we saw a moment ago, these are pictures of Saipan. We're going to talk specifically about that. This, in fact, is Saipan. On June 15th of 1944, this is going to be about a year before the war ends. No one in this battle or in the world knew that at the time. Saipan had approximately 50 to 55,000 Japanese living on it. After World War I, it became a Japanese territory. There were about 20,000 civilians living on Saipan, and there were another about 30,000, so about 50,000 Japanese military on the island of Saipan. Saipan would be one of the most strategic victories for America, if they could capture that island. If they could capture that island, they would have access to the airport there, the runways there, and from there, that would give them opportunities for the B-29s to make it over into Japan. In fact, one of the generals, commanders, who led the battle of bombing Pearl Harbor. One of the Japanese commanders was on this island of Saipan. Lots of history, but I'll speed it up from here. Over the course of 3 weeks, America is going to invade Saipan. They're going to work their way around here. If you can just kind of count, they start over here, basically in the southwest corner of the island. It's approximately 12 miles long. They make it onto the island, and they kind of sweep their way around until they finally get to here in the last few days. And basically, they have eradicated most of the soldiers. And at this point, they have seized the island. Japan has surrendered, sort of the 30,000 Japanese. There were 72,000 American soldiers, so more than double. The Americans come onto the island. Over the course of the 3 weeks, 24,000 Japanese soldiers will die in combat. Another 5,000, including the commander who was a part of bombing Pearl Harbor, committed suicide. Less than 1,000 Japanese soldiers would be taken as prisoners of war. Over the course of those 3 weeks, civilians, if the Americans could figure out who the civilians were, would capture them. A lot of civilians lost their lives because it was a combat zone. And unfortunately, the Japanese chose on more than one occasion, they had a tactic of luring American soldiers into an area by basically using a civilian as bait. And then they would shoot. And so over 4,000 or about 4,000 American soldiers lost their lives. At this point of the battle, after 3 weeks in, there were 20,000 civilians. 13,000 had been accounted for. There were still approximately 7,000 civilians left on the island of Saipan. And they remained in their caves. They remained in hiding. They wouldn't come out. And so the Americans got a hold of this bullhorn, this megaphone type of thing. It's actually quite large. You see it's mounted on the chief. And they had a Saipanese get on there and said, "We've been given food and water and safety. You can come out." And they refused. Why is it? See, over the course of the last 5 years, the propaganda among the Japanese had been that Americans were unhuman and they were inhumane. And that if they were to get a hold of a Japanese or any person not American, that they would rape, torture, and brutally murder. They had been told this over and over again, so much so that the last battle was a bonsai battle, as they called it, where the Japanese commanders, before they committed suicide, told their soldiers, even hobbling, said, "Grab your crutches, go out there with spears, and die on the battlefield. Because if you survive, the Americans will torture you." Hirohito, one of the commanders of the Japanese armies, sent a message to Saipan. And he said to them, he said, "These Americans are terrible people, and they're going to do everything to torture you and kill you. So do this. Take your life. In fact, if you take your life, you'll be awarded the same reward in the afterlife as our valiant soldiers who died on the battlefield." Why was he so set on this? Did he actually believe the Americans were as brutal as he was telling his people? Later on, historians would comment on his decision to encourage and motivate the Saipanese to take their own life. And the reason why is that if those living there, especially those who were Japanese living on the island of Saipan, if they saw the kindness of the Americans, they might rethink their allegiances to Japan. In fact, he feared that the Americans would be kind to them, and ultimately they would get on the radio and they would send messages back to the homeland, back to Japan, and say, no, they're not that bad. They're not killing us. I didn't finish this sentence. It says we have been given food, water, and safety. That's really not a period, it's a comma. Because after he says this, his next line is, don't jump. Those beautiful pictures that I showed you at the start are known as bonsai cliff or suicide cliff. Over the course of about 3 days, 1,000 Sakhanese men, women, and children jumped off those cliffs to their death. Soldiers would later tell stories about how a husband and wife would hold hands and jump off. Or how a father would pick up his child and throw them over before jumping himself. They would tell these horrific stories of how a young mother holding her infant child would wade out into the water and drown themselves. Another account is witnessing a family huddling as close together as they could, hugging one another, before the father pulled the pin on the grenade that was pressed against their chest. I'm not trying to be gruesome. I'm not trying to be graphic. For some of you who are veterans, you know the horrors of war. And my purpose is not so we can talk about how terrible the war is, but it's awful. But what I really want to talk about this morning, if we look at the book of Psalms, is there are lies being told every day about who God is. I want to make a short, quick disclaimer. I'm in no way trying to say America is God and God is always good and America is always good. That's not where I'm going with this. What I want you to see is there were lies about the American soldiers, and people began to believe them so much that they ran away, they hid, they took their own lives, and they took the lives of their own children because they believed what they were hearing. We have lots and lots of people in this world who are hearing the lies of Satan. And over and over and over again, they get this propaganda of how God is mean and how church is irrelevant and how Christians are stupid and judgmental. And they hear that over and over again. And when God calls them and says, "It's okay, I love you," they say, "I just can't believe it." Because they've heard stories. Most of them not true. Maybe a few that were. And they have decided that this all-loving God cannot really exist. We started off this morning with some songs, and I asked you to finish the statement, so we're going to continue that theme for just a little bit. We're going to go through some songs. I want you to hear them. I want you to think about what they really say. Y'all, most of you probably know this one. "Your word is a lamp unto my feet." Psalm 119, the longest psalm, the longest chapter in the whole Bible, and it talks entirely about the word of God. "May God be gracious unto us and bless us, and make his face to shine upon us." How about this one? "But you, O Lord, are a compassionate and gracious God, slow and abounding in love." This was written years before Jonah would use this, not as a compliment of God, but a critique, as he finds himself looking over Nineveh and angry that God refuses to destroy them. How about this is one that you may not know, but this is one I think is really powerful. Better is one day in your courts than thousands elsewhere. Psalm 84, verse 10. How about this one? I think we know this one. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts. I'll finish the rest of this out. Give thanks to him and praise his name, for the Lord is good and his love endures forever. His faithfulness continues through all generations. That's Psalm 100. Another one that might be less familiar to you. How about this? As far as the east is from the west, is as far as the Lord has removed our sins from us. Unless the Lord builds the house, its builder labors in vain. I lifted my eyes to the hills, and where does my help come from? My help comes from the Lord, the maker of heavens and earth. He will not let your foot slip. He who watches over you will not slumber. Indeed, he who watches over Israel will neither slumber nor sleep. Let's go back to some that maybe you're more familiar with. A lot of these songs, by the way, are songs that we know because we sing. In fact, years ago I heard a professor talking about how our theology is more formed and informed by the songs that we sing than by the classes we attend or the sermons that we hear. And here's proof of it. As the deer pants for streams of water, my soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When can I go and meet with God? This one is one, that was Psalm 42. We're all very familiar with that one if we've sung that song more than once. Psalm 40. I waited patiently for the Lord. He turned to me and he heard my cry. He lifted me out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire. He set my feet on a rock and he gave me a firm place to stand. Blessed is the man who makes the Lord his trust, who does not look to the proud, to those who turn aside to many false gods. Many, O Lord my God, are the wonders that you have done, the things that you have planned for us. No one can recount it. You believe that? You believe that we have a God who takes us out of the slimy pit, out of the mud and the mire, and he gives us a firm place to stand? If you don't, why are you here? We have a God who saves. We have a God who comes to us. How about this one? You have turned my mourning into dancing. Mourning, M-O-U-R-N. Mourning is in the part of the day. Weeping may remain for the night, but joy comes in the morning. Some of these are unfamiliar to you. Some of them, as I was going through the book of Psalms, trying to identify ones that I thought that some of you may know. I had to think a little bit about them as well. I wonder if it's important to remember this. I will call upon the Lord. Okay, we know this one. I will call upon the Lord. Don't make me sing. If I have to sing, we're all in trouble. I will call upon the Lord. That's right. I will call upon the Lord who is worthy to be praised. Listen to this. And I'm saved from my enemies. The cords of death entangled me. The torrents of destruction overwhelmed me. The cords of the grave coiled around me. The snares of death confronted me. In my distress, I called out to the Lord. I cried to my God for help. From his temple, he heard my voice. My cry came before him into his ears. You know, some of, you know, we think that the, I will call on the Lord. You know, we, it's like, it's snappy. We like it. This is a psalm written by David, who's in deep distress. And he says, I called out to you. The grave was pulling me down. I called out to you, and you heard me. We're not done yet. I still have, I'm almost out of time, but I'm still going to go through a few more. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how majestic in all the earth. Okay, I'm not going to get to all these, but I'm going to jump down to this one. Here's one that I want us to do, and I need your help on this one. What we're going to do on this one, this is going to be really simple. Okay? I'm going to give you a word. The word is praise. Okay? So it's going to be really simple. When I point to you, you say praise. Can we do that in practice round?
Praise.
Okay, here we go.
Praise.
The Lord.
Praise.
The Lord from the heavens.
Praise.
Him in the heights above.
Praise.
Him all ye angels.
Praise.
Him all ye heavenly hosts.
Praise.
Him in sun. Praise him, sun and moon.
Praise.
Him, all you shining stars.
Praise.
Him in the highest heavens. Sorry, I that was me trying to catch my Bible because I lost my place.
Praise.
The name of the Lord, for he commanded, and they were created. He set them in a place forever and ever. He gave a decree that will never pass away. The Lord from the earth, you great sea creatures, in all ocean depths, lightning and hail, snow and clouds, stormy winds that do his bidding, you mountains and hills, fruit trees and all cedars, wild animals and cattle, small creatures and flying birds, kings of the earth and all you nations, you princes and all you rulers of the earth, young men and maidens, old men and children, let them, the name of the Lord, for his name alone is exalted. His splendor is above the earth and the heavens. He has raised up for his people a horn, of all his saints, of Israel, the people close to his heart, the Lord. All hosts together praise him. Sun and moon and stars on high, praise him, O ye heaven of heavens, and ye floods above the sky. From the earth, O praise Jehovah, all ye floods, ye dragons, all fire and hail and snow and vapors, stormy winds that hear him call. Kings of earth and all ye people, princes great, earth judges all, praise his name, young men and maidens, aged men and children small. Let them praises give Jehovah, for his name alone is high. These are the songs that we sing. We have been formed and informed by this. We're out of time. And I think I identified about 35 passages I wanted to go through. We hit about half of them. Do you believe these? Do you believe what these people say about our God? Come, let us sing with joy to the Lord, let us shout loud to the rock of our salvation. For the Lord is a great God, a great King above all gods, in his hands are the depths of the earth. The mountain peaks, they belong to him, and the sea, it's his because he made it. We have been filled with lies. You have been told that you are not good enough. You have been told that you are terrible. You have been told that you are worthless. You have been told that God doesn't love you anymore. That he's angry with you and he's on a rampage. And the best thing to do is to turn away from him, run to the cliff, and jump off. been fighting your whole life not to believe that. Hopefully you come here so you can hear that you're a child of God who's loved. But we are called to be messengers. Because there's lots of people who aren't meeting in churches around the city and around the country and around the world, and they're not hearing the message. They're listening to the propaganda and the lies of someone who wants to do nothing but destroy. And Saul says, don't believe. And God says, my psalmist will use words. I'm going to use actions. I'm going to send my son. I want to encourage you this week. It'll take you probably about an hour and a half. If you go from start to finish, pick up your Bible and start in Psalms. If you're not sure, write this down. Write down Psalm 46. Be still and know. Start with Psalm 46. Read that one chapter. It takes you about 2 minutes every day, every morning this next week. Read that and allow God to speak. For those of you who've been broken and you've listened to the lies of Satan, shut them out, push them away. Hear the words of God and say, I love you, my child. You are forgiven.